Welcome to an episode of Bands and Botanicals, a unique podcast where a trainer and trainee talk about herbal medicine and fitness.
We're your hosts. My name is Danielle Kreese, and I'm a certified personal trainer and owner of DC Fit. And we also have Paula Kirsch, who's an artisanal herbalist and owner of Botanically Curious. So let's go ahead and start the show. Hello, everyone.
Hey, everybody.
Welcome to another episode of Bands and Botanicals, and we are coming at you with another exciting guest today. She's actually a friend of mine, a former coworker. Her name is Nicole, but before we get into more about Nicole, and we're really excited to delve into everything about gut health and things that we're going to speak on with her, we are going to pull our card for the day.
Yeah, so today we picked the violet. And the interesting thing about that is the oracle property for the violet is attract. Now, for those who have seen a violet before, those really pretty purple flowers, you know, you're probably not surprised by that property. Bees love it. People love it. Butterflies love it. It's got a really sweet scent to it. And it was used in Victorian times, which is one of my favorite eras, for breath fresheners, and then these little violet candies, which is really great. And so violets can be thrown in raw into salads, made into jellies, added to chocolates and things like that. And they actually have some constituents similar to aspirin. So herbal traditions have used them for syrups and things to treat cough and congestion and sore throat. And interestingly enough, you know, this really reminds me of you catch more flies with honey than vinegar, you know, that saying, and that diplomacy around that, you know, just being a nicer person in general, something that we can all kind of learn right now in this time and age. And, you know, that property of attract, people are more attracted to those that are nicer. So kind of,
yeah. And it's working for our guest today, Nicole. If you follow her, or you will follow her after this on social media, but if you don't already, she has been putting so much amazing content out there about gut health and about her own journey and just being very honest and kind of vulnerable with everyone about this. And she is, I think, in my opinion, putting out all of that goodness, and it's attracting, hopefully, Nicole, all that goodness back to you. You know, the law of attraction, I guess, people talk about. So I hope you're getting really good feedback, because I'm sure that you're helping so many people that are feel alone on this journey. So hi, Nicole.
Hi. Thank you. That was so sweet.
Thanks for coming on.
Of course.
So for people who don't know, Nicole is, well, she's a studio manager now and the head coach at our local Orange Theory. That's actually where we met. She was the one who hired me, one of the ones who hired me or interviewed me. Yeah. So really excited to have her on here. She's not just an invaluable source of information, but also a friend. So it's a little special one today. And so basically today we were talking about gut health. And before we get into too much about the specifics and about Nicole's journey, I just wanted to talk about kind of the importance of gut health, because I think, and Nicole, feel free to jump in at any point, because I know you're so well versed in as well, but you know, they're calling it the second brain these days, right? We're realizing that our gut health is connected to so many other aspects of our life, whether it's our mental health, our immune system, to name just a couple of things. And Nicole, like, can you give us a little rundown of when you started this journey, or how, you know, taking that into consideration, how your gut health has affected you in different capacities and how you kind of came to this place that you're at today?
Yeah, definitely. And I definitely agree with what you just said. I remember talking to a doctor, like, I don't know, 6 or 7 years ago. It was very informal. There was wine involved, but he was saying how it's probably the new next biggest thing is the gut microbiome. And it was just really fascinating to hear that. And I agreed wholeheartedly, and come to find out now that it really is. And it's incredible. But so my brief history of like my gut health, it's kind of been going on forever, but it's always been something that I just didn't really know was a thing. I thought it was normal to have bloating. I thought it was a normal thing, but it's just started when I was kind of in high school, and I never, you know, I was an athlete, but I never wanted to take my shirt off because I always had bloated stomach and I thought it was a normal thing until much, much later.
I would probably have felt the same way. I mean, yeah. So many people, I'm sure, just like, this must be a normal thing, right? To just feel really uncomfortable after I eat all the time.
Right. Yeah.
Especially because, yeah, just a stomach ache, right? You just think, oh, it's just a stomach ache.
Yeah, definitely. So, like, when I was in high school, and, you know, when you're a teenager, you don't know any better. And I didn't grow up particularly with, like, the healthiest eating habits. So I just ate whatever I wanted. And I would always have some sort of bloating, not knowing that it was my food affecting it.
And, Nicole, there's so many different things out there we can be talking about, like colitis, IBS. Can you give us an example about what exactly we're talking about today with your condition and what exactly that is?
Yeah, definitely. It's been taking me years to figure out kind of what has been going on in my stomach and multiple doctors to get where I'm at. And so come to find out recently that it was SIBO that kind of has been going on, what is the more deeper problem of everything. And that's just it's a small intestinal bacteria overgrowth. So it's in your small intestines, and it's when you have it over large colonized of bacteria in that generalized area, that affects so much more than the body, like indigestion, for example, and things in the digestive system that don't work. There's a couple different kinds of SIBO. There's a hydrogen predominant, and there's a methane predominant. Mine was more hydrogen predominant, and so that was, it's been a long process, and I went on antibiotics, which I don't know how I feel about that, because it worked for a while, but then it didn't work for a while, you know, so that's kind of just what SIBO mm-hmm. is in general.
Yeah, I mean, so I did looked into this a little bit after we spoke and talked about some things, and you were talking about how it's an overgrowth of bacteria. So I guess there's, for those who don't know, trillions, mm-hmm. literally trillions of bacteria that make up our GI tract. And when it's all healthy, it's such a huge role in our body that it does create this homeostasis in our body. It creates this balance in our body. So I guess when you get that overgrowth, just like anything else, when the scales start to shift, it's kind of like a domino effect for the rest of the body. Mm-hmm. And I think mm-hmm. that's what, you know, people are realizing more, is your gut will have this domino effect on so much else. And for people who don't know, like, the small intestine isn't very small.
Yeah.
It's like 20 feet or something. Mm-hmm. I read it takes up a huge amount of your body. So, you know, for food, I guess, is supposed to move quickly through there. You have bile there. So things that break stuff down, and
right.
Unless I'm mistaken, does your food kind of get stagnant there?
Yeah.
It could get stagnant.
It's almost like, I know it's a really weird way to analogy it, but when you look at it, it's almost like a bunch of little different bacterias, and they're all just stuck in that one spot. And like for hydrogen, they're just a bunch of little bacteria is farting, and it overgrows, and it's it's bloating the stomach area. And that's almost the easiest way to kind of describe it to somebody. And that's where you get all of your, you know, digested. So if you're malnutrition, it's most likely probably going to be in the small intestinal area, because that's where you're digesting right. everything. Yeah.
So you know, this sounds like something where people might actually be looking at this as like, okay, I have a little bit of bloating, I need to go on a diet, or specifically like a keto diet. They get really low carb, they do a lot of these things. Is that something that you ever considered, or is that something that you went to first, or did you know that it was something you needed to go to the doctor for?
So, well, since it's been such a long journey, I did not go to the doctors at all for a long time. I was more focusing on my nutrition, and I didn't find keto in my nutritional journey for a long time, just since it's been for a while. And so that's not the first thing I did. I did more paleo focused, and by cutting out certain foods like gluten or dairy, I immediately started to notice differences, but I was still having bloating and I didn't particularly know why. So it's just been a long road of kind of figuring out what foods work for my body and what foods don't work for the body. And
yeah, and for
yeah, go ahead.
For listeners out there, we're not even talking about junk food. We're talking about things like apples yeah. or garlic or things that you would naturally think were nutritious and totally. Should be consuming.
Yeah, definitely. And I didn't find out, I kind of had heard a little bit about like a FODMAPs diet, and we can go into that a little bit in a little bit as well, but I didn't know what it was, but my ex-boyfriend's mom had followed the diet, and I was paleo at the time, and I didn't really know kind of what it was, but I was not very along that journey of my time yet because I didn't understand my body enough. But it's definitely now something I follow more to a T, because you know, you can eat a healthy food and still have a reaction to it and right. not know why.
So do you know, was there any particular thing that the doctors were able to tell you that could have been a culprit in this overgrowth? Because I, you know, with the food kind of getting stagnant, sometimes I read that surgeries can lead to it, you know, having scar tissue within the small intestines can lead to it as well. Different factors could contribute. Do you have any insight into what possibly contributed to your diagnosis?
So definitely. I've had a very like positive and negative effect with the doctors, right? We can get into that as well. But for me in particular, since it's in the small intestines, it's right after the stomach, it's where everything digests. I have grown up, I was a binge eater for a long time in my teen years, in my young adulthood. And personally, that's kind of where I think it might have started, just from eating so much and not letting the body and the digestive system have time to break it down, but rather mm-hmm. overloading it so much. And for a long time, I thought maybe I had leaky gut where I just expanded right. it and it was going outside of the gut. I didn't know what was going on inside, but that is probably more so where I thought it stemmed. I'm not sure to this day, but that's could be my best, most educated guess for it. And I think,
And leaky gut, I mean, I think it could be a byproduct of mm-hmm. the SIBO, because you are having that kind of damage done to the lining of your GI tract.
Mm-hmm.
And then, mm-hmm. yeah, I guess it's almost like it was almost like you were on a very messed up treasure hunt of getting these clues, I guess, like leaky gut being a byproduct of it. And you're trying to fix that, or feeling bloated. So you try to fix feeling bloated, but like having to dive deeper so you know what the source was that was causing all of these symptoms.
Yeah, definitely. I definitely agree with that.
And for the listeners out there, you mentioned a type of diet that works well for you and particular foods. Now, if you know, we tell somebody that they probably shouldn't eat an apple or use garlic or anything like that, and then they think, wow, those are just natural foods. What foods right. are you allowed to eat within this? And why?
Yeah, maybe we could go into that FODMAP.
Yeah, totally, definitely. And that's something that I didn't know, because, you know, finding my health journey, my nutrition journey, you cook with so many different things. The biggest two things I can think of are onions and garlic, like you said. And those mm-hmm. are...
Oh, I've seen so many of your videos with onions and garlic.
I know, and I love onions. I love eating onions, but they make me feel so bad. But there's, you know, sometimes I'll eat them and sometimes I won't. But so the FODMAPs it's fermentable oligosaccharides, disaccharides, monosaccharides, and polyols, which are short chain carbohydrates and sugar alcohols that help. It leads to the body having poor absorption with these and ultimately leads to abdominal pain or bloating or all the symptoms that we feel. And so foods like onions, garlic, asparagus, you know, there's apples, there's so many different things on the list that are like, oh, that's healthy. Why can't I have asparagus? But it, or cauliflower for me is a huge one. And I didn't, you know, I love eating healthy foods no matter what they are. And so it's really hard for me to kind of take away those healthy foods, but I know I need to do it because I feel horrible after I eat an onion or, you know, for example.
Yeah. Oh man. I've seen you feeling so uncomfortable, you know, at work and stuff. And I've watched you kind of go through this journey a little bit, at least for the last like year or so. And, you know, I've seen you go to the doctor's appointments and I've seen you go to, through different testings and things like that. And you had briefly touched on it, Nicole, but you had said that you've had good and bad experiences with the doctor. Yeah. And I know that, that this is largely underdiagnosed for various reasons, maybe because one, the doctor looks at the symptoms and doesn't think that there's anything deeper in it, or people aren't going because, like you said, you just chalked it up to having a stomach ache, or, you know, you were just bloated and that was just the way things were. So can you give us a little, you know, what you meant by that when you said you've had positive and negative experiences? Right. Because I know that that antibiotics have been known to, I guess, help for a little bit. And then I was reading a bunch that a lot of people just relapse off of these antibiotics.
Yeah, they wreak havoc on your gut.
So true. Definitely. Yeah, definitely. So the first time I had, well, I mean, maybe not the first time, but I've had a few years ago, had some horrible stomach pains. And I just went to my mom and was like, I don't know what to do anymore. And so we went to an urgent care doctor. This was probably like one of the first times I started getting a doctor involved. And I was like, I don't know what to do. My stomach is killing me, like right here in this one spot. And so we did different, like, I think we even got an ultrasound and they thought maybe it was a gallstones or something to do with my gallbladder. And we did an x-ray. There were so many different things. And when the x-ray came back, there was just a bunch of gas and bloating. So he sent me home with a Miralax prescription and said, go buy this over the counter, like take this laxative. It'll make you feel fine. So I did that for a long time. And I mean, you know, I don't know. It didn't really do it anything. But then later on in the years, this was a couple years ago, I had had a lot more stomach pains and it was coming back. So I wanted to do something about it and it was affecting me. I went on a trip and I had the worst stomach pains and I was even pooping blood and I didn't know what to do anymore. I was like, I have to do something about this. Like there has to be a reason why this is happening. Not just I can't just take a laxative for this. So, I'm very open about it. Like at the gym, I think is where I found my next doctor, which was somebody's husband. And so I ended up going to see him and he didn't particularly know exactly what was going on, but sent me to a gastroenterologist, which was more or less probably one of the better things I could have ever done. And we tested for parasites and we tested for SIBO, and which I had personally researched SIBO because a lot of doctors had told me, oh, you just need to change your nutrition. You just need to exercise. And I'm over here like, all I do is exercise and eat healthy.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
I'm like, that's not working. I need to get a little bit deeper. And so it was really helpful and eye-opening once I found out that SIBO was the particular underlying effect. And then I had a feeling I had SIBO, which was just, you know, I had all the symptoms. I had the bloating, the uncomfortableness. And so
you felt it in your gut. In your gut, that feeling, that intuition. Yeah.
Literally and physically and intuitively. But yeah, no, definitely. And it was so just knowing like, oh, this is a positive. There was a way too high extreme colonization of bacteria in that area. And I was like, oh, now I can actually work towards making myself feel better and taking the right steps and knowing what it is, even though, you know, it's a generalized, I don't know. It was just helpful and eye-opening. I'm so glad that I went to the gastroenterologist for that.
Yeah. Yeah, of course.
I feel like we see a lot more of this. It's so prevalent now. And with young people, young, healthy, active people, I see gut issues all of the time. And as an herbalist, you know, we study phytochemistry, which is essentially, you were talking a little bit about phytochemistry when you're breaking down the molecular structures of things, but the chemical constituents of these plants that allow us to evaluate their energetic properties. Like I think we mentioned on another show, garlic is always one where you have to watch on the energetic properties of the person, because it can irritate the gut, knowing that it's more of a hot, you know, same with ginger and some of those other things that are really irritating. And it's just interesting because I started to do some research with this after we decided to have you on the show. And some of the big things out there right now that are promoting like de-bloating you. I think there's one in particular called Superfood Tabs. And if you read it, it looks really healthy, where it says like beet extract and all these different extracts and
elderberry.
Right, elderberry extract. And when it says those things, interestingly enough, really what they're talking about is somebody went in, they took the chemical components of elderberry or whatever it was, these constituents, and they realized there's one chemical component that is actually really good for fat burning or really good for, has maybe a laxative effect. And they pulled those chemical constituents out of the herb or the fruit or whatever it is itself. And then they put all of those extracts, is what they call them, back into these supplements. And so what ends up happening is you have a ton of antioxidants. And people are like, well, I want a ton of antioxidants. Well, actually, when you overload your body with antioxidants, you know, less is more with a lot of things. And it actually, all of those things come together and they flood the system to where you're overloading your gut, you're overloading your stomach with a lot of these. And so when people are using these that are sold on Instagram all the time or wherever it is that say, you know, superfoods, this is healthy, take it with your water, whatever it is, it actually overloads your system because of all those different extracts within it. And so it's really, really important. People have to be such savvy consumers with these because, you know, just looking at, you mentioned like apples, I looked at like apples, figs, black tea, green tea, asparagus, all of these things that could really irritate your stomach. If you look at the phytochemistry of it and you pull out one of the constituent, constituents, rutin is a constituent within all of those. It's a chemical compound within, and it's one of those antioxidants that has a really high capacity to irritate. And so when you start looking at the science of it, it is really interesting to see like, what is an apple and asparagus have in common? Why are they both, you know, other than the fiber content of those, there's, you know, really looking at the phytochemistry of it. And it's scary because the more and more people want to go natural, the more and more they trust these companies to produce a healthy product. But, you know, these companies aren't chemists a lot of the time. And they're sitting there and they're not nutritionalists. They're not doctors, nutritionalists, and chemists all at the same time. And they don't realize that they're putting heavy antioxidants all together. And then you kind of create like a bomb in your stomach.
Yeah. No, I feel that. That's kind of like almost how I started the nutrition journey. And then I started on a supplement that had everything in it. And I was still feeling my stomach hurt. And I was like, why is this happening to me? You know, we've all been there. We've taken that product or supplement because it sold us and I was still not feeling good at all. It was not helping. It's because it was too much and I had to back off. And sometimes that's even what they say for like SIBO, for example, like don't take your probiotics right off the back. Maybe try to limit things for a while to let the colonization go down and then reintroduce healthier items that are the right kinds of probiotics and working with the nutritionist to figure out what that is.
Yeah. Cause I guess you're, you know, and maybe this goes hand in hand with the FODMAPs and with certain eliminations of food, just seeing how you feel, but you really, and I've watched you do this, Nicole, I've watched you try so many different things, but you're really just almost playing a guessing game of trying to find or not a guessing game, but a detective game, I guess, on trying to find what foods support your body and rebuild that healthy microbiome versus the foods that irritate it. And sometimes, like you said, it's those things that you think are going to be super healthy because it's just generally they may be, but everyone's microbiome is so different. I was even reading that, you know, whether you were birthed naturally or through a C-section, can affect the bacteria within your body and within your gut because of what you're exposed to in those first moments versus being brought out through a C-section. So, you know, it's things that we don't even realize that could play these roles.
Yeah, like I've been almost since I've been in nutrition, I've almost been experimenting all of these. Like you've seen me, I've done multiple different diets per se because I'm trying to figure out what works best for me. And from I used to do nutrition coaching, I don't really do that anymore, but I would do it for not just me but for other people because I wanted to be the first test result of why do you want to do keto. And so I've put myself through a keto diet and so I can relate to those people and help them kind of like find what works best for them. Cause we're all different, you know, what works for me won't work for you.
Yeah, no, for sure. And we were actually just, we had another guest that we just recently spoke with, and he trains based off of neurotype, and he doesn't just train based off of neurotype. Mm-hmm. He also provides nutrition advice based off of your neurotype and just showing that, you know, we're not all built the same. And yes, HIIT exercises can be really great, but if that's not the type of person you are, then that's not going to work for you. And I guess it's the same with food. If your gut is telling you something different, then every nutrition book in the world could say that apples are great,
right?
Mm-hmm. But they just may not be great for you.
Mm-hmm.
It's like
totally. And
you have a date around, right?
Just kidding.
Yeah, no, I feel that. And like, even there's some foods on the FODMAPs diet that like I can eat and feel totally normal. And like, you just have to figure out what makes you feel bad or good, I guess you could say. Like for me, I get fatigued or I get less energy or irritable. It's huge.
Yeah, I really like that because so many people go through their day and they aren't really in tune with either their body's signals, you know, their biofeedback, whether they're hungry, they're not actually hungry, if they're tired or any of those things. And, you know, with something like this, unfortunately, you had to be a lot more intuitive with that and paying a lot more attention. But for people that might have similar issues right now that might be listening to this, and then they hear what you're going through, they say, hey, I might have something similar. I've been hitting my head against the wall, going to doctors, you know, same similar thing. And, you know, just knowing that that affects not only your whole health, but, you know, your mental health, what kind of suggestions do you have for listeners, or what things did you do to make sure that it wouldn't affect your mental health as you kind of went through this journey?
Yeah. So when I went to a doctor and we did a full blood panel and everything was normal, and he just said, well, just keep your nutrition healthy. So I started doing my own personal research and just kind of getting in tune with my body and how I feel. I would start, you know, a food journal is like the first thing to start, and start writing down what you just ate, how you felt 30 minutes after, for example, and like kind of just like taking a mental note of what makes you feel good and what doesn't make you feel good. And for me, like now to this day, I'll still eat things that are not, you know, on that side of the list that makes me feel healthy and energized, but I'll know like, oh, I'm probably not going to feel the best after I eat this. I just have to know that for myself. And I mean, it's a journey, and you have to be a little bit more graceful with yourself throughout the process, because it's a lifelong journey. You know, you can't just have one diet and it worked perfect for you. Your body changes over the years anyways. And so what may not work today, it may work in 10 years.
Yeah. And I guess, you know, and when it comes, you had mentioned that, you know, you said being irritable is a big thing, or being fatigued. Like, I've seen you so fatigued. And I think the thing that was always good too, and maybe people don't do this enough, is being honest with the people around them if they are feeling bad or having a bad day. Like, you know, if you'd come into work, you would be honest with us. You'd be like, guys, I feel terrible right now. Like, I appreciated, like, and you should do that, because, you know, maybe someone dropped you that bar that was going to help you, give you a little bit more energy, or, you know, we could help build each other up. I mean, we would do that regardless, whether it was, you know what, a gut issue or a depression issue or another physical ailment. So I always thought it was really great and honest that if you were having a bad day, you were honest with the people around you, because then it was like, mm-hmm. you gave yourself that space to feel everything that you were feeling, because it does bring you down when you feel terrible all the time and uncomfortable all the time. Like, I don't know how it wouldn't affect your mental health.
Yeah. I think building a community, like you were mentioning, and that, you know, going back to kind of the theme of the day of gut health and then the attract that we pulled from the card, attracting those people that are going to be understanding, who are going to give you that grace, who are going to be your community that you can go to, would definitely help with mental health and just overall health in general.
Yeah. And since I've been kind of more sharing more or less of my gut health issues, like I always kind of have, but I've been starting to do it more and more. And now people are starting to reach out to me and ask me about my symptoms because they feel like they're having the same symptoms. So that's one reason I'm really excited for this podcast, just in general, for everybody to start understanding and learning more things so they can have better resources, so they can start being in touch with their body. And it's really great that you guys are doing this.
Oh, thanks. So mm-hmm. I have a question coming from, you had mentioned, you know, that doctors are just like, just eat healthy and work out. And so, mm-hmm. you know, for a long time, I've always thought, you know, movement is medicine. And I still very mm-hmm. much agree with that. But at the same time, as I get older, I'm understanding that movement as medicine can look very different. And I was just wondering if you noticed, because I've heard you talk about, you know, you'll be like, oh, that wasn't my best workout because I'm just not feeling good. Mm-hmm. How was it affecting you physically in regards to, you're a trainer, you're a coach. This is literally what you do in your life. How is it affecting you on the fitness level? And did you ever feel that one form of movement kind of restored you a little bit more when you were feeling bad? Like, did yoga make you feel better if you were having some gut issues that day versus like a high intensity workout, like Orange Theory?
Yeah, no, definitely. When I'm having a bad, more or less day, I always thought I had maybe like vertigo, and now come to find out it's just a malabsorption in my small intestines. And mm-hmm. I feel like some days yoga feels better to me. Some days high intensity workouts feel better to me. It really just depends on the day, and understanding that it's okay to do one or the other. And some days, you know, sometimes a high intensity workout feels so good for me because it'll start to, you know, wake up my core and my gut system. Mm-hmm. And then other days, things like slow movement, like yoga or being upside down, for me, one of the main reasons why I do that so much is just to like kind of move my gut and my stomach around.
That your handstand practice?
Just like anything upside down. Yeah. Like headstands uh-huh. or handstands, anything that I notice getting upside down kind of like it moves things around in my gut health. And so that some days works really good for me, or running outside works really good for me. It depends. And, you know, there's a time and a place for all of them. And I think it's really important to understand how you feel that day. If I'm having like a horrible stomach pain day, I'm probably not going to go do a high intensity workout, but maybe I'll do some slow movement to get things starting to move around until mm-hmm. I feel better. And then I can pick up that high intensity workout for the next day. You know, rest is just as, you know, that, you know, every, yeah. you know, this as well, Danielle, rest is just as important as a highest intensity workout, if not more. And mm-hmm. so it's really good to just have both of those. And I've found, for me, I love both of them, and so does my body.
So for, you know, workout recovery or for just daily use, do you have any herbs that you know, that are your favorite herbs or things that you incorporate more on that herbal side?
Yeah. Definitely. I've got some different things that I take, but I don't take them all in one day, but I did. I went around and made a list. I've done this multiple times of like what I have in my house, that things that work best for me. And it also, you know, timing, which I'm sure you've talked about, is works best for me. Things mm-hmm. like oregano oil worked really well for me lately. Mm-hmm. Things like psyllium husk powder have been working really well for me, like a fibrous product. Those fiber products used to not work well for me. It's just kind of trial and error, or bitters. Digestive enzymes are huge for me, like papaya enzymes, or just like a generalized digestive enzyme, or magnesium at nighttime mm-hmm. works really good, or activated charcoal. Danielle knows this. I live by activated charcoal. Nice. If I'm having a bad stomach day, I take a couple of charcoal pills. Like it's a huge detoxifying, and it helps my bloating go down. And I would do it at work mainly just because if I feel bad, I almost need like an immediate effect of feeling better. And charcoal was one of the things that just soaked it up. And finally I was like feeling better. I'm trying to now not take so much charcoal as much, just so I can start understanding more of what my body actually needs and not just put a bunch of detoxifying, which is, it's still good for you, but in that sense. And so there's a lot of different, or ginger, herbal teas. I've been, you know, drink a lot of herbal teas and honey. For some reason, simple sugars are really good for my stomach lately. Just kind of helps. I mean, honey's good for everything. Yes. But yeah, those are some of the top little, or ox bile. I don't know if you guys have ever talked about ox bile on the show, but that's a really good one for like your gallbladder and your fat digestive enzymes. So that one in particular, if I have a high fat meal, I'll take that just to help my stomach digest.
Nice. Yeah, because I guess herbs or foods that are going to support your digestive system are important, because I know we didn't really hit on this yet, but some of the complications of SIBO, and I don't know if this carries over to other gut issues as well, possibly does, but you do have poor absorption mm-hmm. of fats and carbs mm-hmm. and proteins. And when you don't have that fat absorption, you lose the ability to absorb also vitamins that are fat soluble. Mm-hmm. And you hit on it for a brief moment, but you talked about being, I think, having some malnutrition because you don't have, you know, without your body working properly to digest, all of those good things that you're trying to put into your body aren't being brought into your body, aren't being absorbed. So I guess, yeah,
totally.
Things that are going to help.
And that's like when I feel fatigued and things are not absorbing naturally is huge. But yeah.
This has been super, super informative, Nicole. I think that people who are going through this will not only feel less alone, but will maybe actually find some answers. And I just, if you have a couple extra things to say, I was just going to ask you, at this point in your life, you've been on this journey for a while. What does healthy look like for you today? Because, you know, you've done lots of exercise. You did those things that the doctors were telling you. You still weren't feeling that relief. Mm-hmm. I know we've kind of touched on it, but if you could kind of summarize what Nicole's health looks like today in regards to like,
yes. What that I mean, it's definitely a journey all in itself, but healthy, you know, there's so many more things than just nutrition. Like for me, I have to find what works for me nutritionally, but I also have to incorporate my movement. If I'm feeling not so up to par, then I need to find that kind of movement that's going to work best for me. It's a mental, physical, spiritual, it's everything all encompassed for me. A lot of sleep. I love sleep. I think is one of the next biggest things ever in the health world. Mm-hmm. If you know, not already, if you haven't touched on it, or just rest, just as important as movement.
Right.
And so for me, just finding what works best for my body, understanding and knowing, if this is something that's going to make me feel bad, I just have to acknowledge that and take it on and move forward with it. I do have that balance of what works best for my body and fueling my body, but also sleep and movement and nutritionally and mental health is huge. Finding and figuring out yourself is one of the most important things. Then you can start being better with it as a whole. And I think that's really important.
We're talking about health and staying active and some of those things. And, you know, my pillars for health are really similar with just like body movement and, you know, being more intuitive. And if people want to just see more of your story, connect with you, since the gyms are closed and they can't go to Orange Theory to see you, where can they find you?
Oh, yeah. Well, people can find me on Instagram. That's one of my biggest things that I'm always on and finding out things and trying to save things to share things. My handle is N_S_wellness. And so people can find me and reach out to me there if they have any questions or follow my journey. And I love to help and reach out to for somebody else as well.
Awesome. And but the cool thing is yes, you are a fitness person, you're a wellness person, but you also went to school, I think, and studied social media marketing, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, yeah.
So you yes. you do have
yeah,
another
so
handle,
I mean,
right?
I have a million different backgrounds, and yeah, I guess there's a what is it? It's Nicole_BeingSocial. I have a background in business and social media marketing, and also psychology and nutrition and fitness, because I all think they all revolve and they all encompass each other. I've yes. been trying to figure it out for many years of like, what, why am I attracted to all of these specific different areas, but they all just kind of incorporate each other in a way.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. And you always put out really great content on there too, for people who are looking from that perspective. So I just wanted to say thank you. You know, it really sounds like at the end of the day, this is a very intuitive journey. Mm-hmm. And sometimes those are the hardest ones to be on. So I commend you for kind of taking that power into your own hands and doing the work to get mm-hmm. to where you are today.
Thank you. Yeah. No, that was awesome. I really appreciate you guys having me on here. And I love all of your podcasts. I listen to them. So thank you for that. Uh-huh. I learn things every single time I listen to a new one. And I think they're amazing.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks. All right. Well, with that, we are going to wrap this one up. Nicole, thank you. Paul and I are so appreciative. And we hope everyone has a great rest of their week and peace and love.